The Black Dahlia, Hollywood's enduring nightmare, Whispers from the Dark. Welcome, dear listeners, to Whispers from the Dark. Tonight, we journey back in time to the glittering, yet grimy, underworld of post-war Los Angeles. We step into a chilling tableau that forever stained the city's facade, a crime so brutal, so meticulously orchestrated, that it transcended mere murder to become an enduring American nightmare. This is the story of Elizabeth Short, forever known as the Black Dahlia, and the unsolved murder that continues to whisper through the dark alleys of Hollywood history. In the mid-1940s, thousands flock to California, drawn by the promise of sunshine, opportunity, and the seductive allure of the movie industry. Among them was Elizabeth Short, a beautiful young woman with striking blue eyes and raven hair, who arrived in Los Angeles in 1946. She was a dreamer, an aspiring actress, or perhaps simply a young woman seeking a place to belong, drifting through a transient life of waitressing jobs, brief affairs, and a perpetual search for stability. She was a wannabe, one of many who arrived with Hollywood aspirations, only to find the dream far more elusive than the reality. Her life was largely unremarkable until its horrific end, which etched her name into infamy. The moniker that would forever define her tragic story, the Black Dahlia, was a morbid invention of the press. Local newspapers, eager to sensationalize and sell copies, latched onto a recent film noir, The Blue Dahlia, and combined it with Elizabeth's dark hair and fondness for black clothing. The name stuck, lending an almost mythic, yet chilling, quality to her victimhood. It transformed a young woman into a lurid legend, obscuring her humanity beneath a veil of morbid fascination. The final days of Elizabeth Short remain shrouded in uncertainty, pieced together from fragmented sightings and unreliable accounts. What we know for certain is that she was last seen alive on January 9th, 1947, checking out of the Biltmore Hotel in downtown Los Angeles. Prior to this, she had reportedly spent time with a salesman she had been dating, traveling between San Diego and Los Angeles. There are whispers of her being seen at the Biltmore Bar, perhaps waiting for a ride or meeting someone. The exact details of her movements from January 9th to January 15th are a terrifying void, leaving us to wonder who she was with, where she went, and what unspeakable terror she experienced in the agonizing hours leading up to her discovery. Then came Wednesday, January 15th, 1947. In a vacant lot on the west side of South Norton Avenue in Limert Park, a quiet residential area, a mother pushing her 3-year-old daughter in a stroller stumbled upon a sight so ghastly it would forever sear itself into the collective consciousness of Los Angeles and beyond. Laid out meticulously on the cold ground, cut cleanly in half at the waist, was the nude body of Elizabeth Short. The scene was a masterpiece of macabre artistry. Her body had been drained of blood, washed clean, and posed with chilling precision. Her face was grotesquely mutilated, a gruesome Glasgow smile carved from the corners of her mouth to her ears. Portions of flesh had been removed from her thigh and breast. The sheer brutality and the surgical precision of the dismemberment suggested a killer not only consumed by rage, but possessing a chilling degree of anatomical knowledge. It was a message, undeniably. But what message, and to whom? The public reaction was immediate and visceral. Fear gripped the city. This wasn't just a murder. It was an act of terror, a violation of the human form that spoke of an almost inhuman depravity. The LAPD investigation that followed was unlike anything seen before. A media circus immediately erupted, fueled by the sensational nature of the crime and the gruesome details eagerly printed by the hungry tabloids. Every aspect of Elizabeth Short's life was scrutinized, dissected, and often distorted. The police department was overwhelmed by the sheer volume of tips, false confessions, and outright hoaxes. Hundreds came forward, claiming to be the killer, desperate for notoriety or attention. The chaos made the already difficult task of finding a needle in a haystack almost impossible. Forensic science was rudimentary by today's standards. DNA profiling was decades away. Leads were often based on shaky eyewitness accounts or anonymous letters. The pressure on the LAPD was immense. Mayor Fletcher Bowron was inundated with calls demanding a quick arrest. The press, initially helpful in generating leads, soon became a hindrance, publishing sensitive details that compromised the investigation and inadvertently aiding the killer, who seemed to revel in the publicity. Letters purportedly from the killer taunted the police and the newspapers, sending personal effects of Shorts through the mail. This cat-and-mouse game only heightened the city's terror and the mystery. Over the decades, countless theories and suspects have emerged, but one name consistently surfaces as the most compelling: Dr. George Hodel. A prominent Los Angeles physician with a brilliant mind and a dark reputation, Hodel became a primary suspect through the tireless investigation of his own son, Steve Hodel, a retired LAPD homicide detective. Steve Hodel amassed a staggering amount of circumstantial evidence, including shocking diary entries by his father hinting at the crime, photographs of a woman resembling Short found in his father's possessions, and the chilling discovery of a bone fragment in the backyard of Hodel's notorious Souden House, a modernist architectural marvel that was itself a hub of wild parties and dark secrets. George Hodel was known to be highly intelligent, with a background that included medical training that could explain the surgical precision of the dismemberment. The surgeon theory posits that the killer had medical expertise, not just a casual understanding of anatomy. The victim's body was bisected with a precision that hinted at surgical knowledge, and the draining of her blood, while not explicitly medical, points to a methodical, almost clinical approach to the crime. While George Hodel was investigated by the LAPD at the time, even wiretapped by police, no direct evidence was ever found to formally link him to the murder, and he was never charged. He fled the country soon after, living abroad for many years before returning to the US in the 1990s. Other theories, though less thoroughly investigated, include a jealous ex-lover, a jilted suitor, or even a connection to the burgeoning organized crime syndicates of the era. Some speculated about a serial killer, a notion that gained traction with later murders like the lipstick killer, though no concrete links were ever definitively established to Short's case. The vast number of false confessions, including one by a woman claiming to be the killer's wife, further muddied the waters, making it nearly impossible to separate truth from sensationalism. The crime scene itself, in its chilling tableau, suggested a deliberate act designed to shock and terrify. The precise cuts, the post-mortem mutilations, the careful staging of the body. These were not the acts of a panicked killer, but a cold, calculating mind. It felt like a perverse work of art, meant to be discovered, observed, and deeply pondered. The public's morbid fascination only seemed to feed the killer's ego, who continued to communicate with the press, sending taunting messages, and even some of Short's personal effects, including her birth certificate and social security card. The legacy of the Black Dahlia murder is immense. It became an icon of Hollywood's dark underbelly, a gothic tale of shattered dreams and unspeakable horror that resonates to this day. It influenced literature, film, and countless true crime documentaries. It remains the most famous unsolved murder in Los Angeles history, a constant source of fascination and frustration. For all the theories, all the suspects, all the dedicated police work over the decades, the ultimate truth of what happened to Elizabeth Short on that cold January night in 1947 remains locked away, a secret kept by the shadows of a city that cherishes its illusions while harboring its nightmares. And thank you for joining me tonight on Whispers from the Dark. Until next time, remember, some stories are best left uninvestigated, or perhaps they're the very ones that demand our attention the most. Good night, and sleep tight if you can.